I'd like to go to my message to you today. My scripture reading is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and starting at verse 6. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered in the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful words, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Heavenly Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts those things that we need from these words. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless the words that come and the thoughts that we will express and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. And I'd like to give two scriptures for my text. See if we can go to Matthew 13 and 11. Matthew 13 and 11. And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Let's go to Luke 8 and 10. And he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. This morning I'd like to speak to you about mysteries of God. That's my message to you this morning. You heard that word mystery several times in my scripture and the two texts that I had. Mysteries of God. Look up the word mysteries and it says hidden, unknown, secret, mysteries. And within my scripture reading, we have the words hidden wisdom of God. Mysteries of God. Hidden wisdom of God. You and I are servants of Christ, and we are the keepers, the stewards of the mysteries of God. These mysteries of God, hidden wisdom of God, are not received by all. And we're speaking of Christians also. Some of these are not received by all, nor are they given to all. And they are not understood by all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4 and 1. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church people. And he said, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards or keepers of the mysteries of God. But we might say that there is a qualifier there. There is an if in regard to those in that verse. And it's in verse 2. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Are we trustworthy of that which God has put in our hands? Are we trustworthy of the mysteries or the truths that we have become aware of, that we are knowledgeable of? God would have us to share this, to not only realize these mysteries ourselves, but as good stewards of it, to keep it within our heart and then share it with others. These mysteries are given by God to us through His Holy Spirit working within us for this age or this time. Other people, other ages, long before Jesus, desired to know these truths or these mysteries of God, but was not able to. They could not understand. The mysteries were not revealed to them. But you and I live in a privileged time, and mysteries has been revealed to us. The hidden wisdom planned by God before creation for His children or His family at this time. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2 and 6. 1 Corinthians 2 and 6. And you will see what I've said these scriptures are saying. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. In other words, ones that want to understand and are listening. We speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. And of course, Paul was speaking those words at his time after Jesus has gone back to the Father. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Part of the mystery is God's love for us. And that he has things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard prepared for those who open their hearts and lives to him and who love him. For to us, God revealed them how? Through the Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? Searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. God gives us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, which leads us and guides us and comforts us, just like the Scriptures read. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Let's go skip down to 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. We will speak further of some of these mysteries and the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? Can that register with you? You are a walking, talking, teaching temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. As you open your heart and life to God, He freely gives you salvation. He freely gives you the gift of His Holy Spirit. As you let that mature in you and grow, these mysteries become more known to you. If any man destroys the temple of God, and that don't necessarily mean we ourselves destroying our own temple, but of course we can do that to a certain degree in doing harm to ourselves. But it can also be from those without, not just within us, but from without us. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. When you have God in your heart and life, you ask for His Holy Spirit to come inside you and be with you every moment of the day. God promises it. It's something you can count on. It is a fact. And that is what you are. Let's go to a little bit backwards, but 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. There was a contention at this time, a human kind of a thing, in which certain Christians were claiming to be better than other Christians because they were led to God by Paul, the Apostle Paul. And others were saying, we are more knowledgeable and we have more of God. And they were ones that were taught and led to God by Apollos. And so this is explaining that neither one is above the other. It's God that is performing the work. The others are just planting. Now he who plants, one plants and starts the work, starts the seed, starts the church. Another one comes along and he helps out. He waters after the seeds have first been planted. The church has first started growing. Another one comes along, helps out, waters. But each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. It is God that deserves the praise and glory for building the church, for bringing the blessings. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 5 there. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's heart. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. Let's don't get caught up in petty arguments, in discussions that to continue will accomplish nothing. In jealousies, the reward will come from God. Let's not be judgmental. This Word of God lets us know how a brother or sister, how we ourselves measure up. The Word of God judges. Let it be the judge. And let us wait until the Lord comes. And He will, as this scripture says, He will bring everything to light that is hidden in darkness. And each man's praise will come to him from God. Let's speak a little bit about some of these great mysteries of God, these hidden wisdoms of God. Number one of those is that every person that has ever lived, I would hope, will somewhere along their life come to the point that they realize that it's all about God. That's what's going on. That's one of the things that evidently the children of Israel could never keep before them for any length of time without allowing distractions to come and break them away from acknowledging the one true living God. We need to realize that one of the greatest things that we can bring our mind to understand is that it's all about God. It's not about us. It's not about what we can accomplish and how much we can get and how much we can have and how much we can keep. It's all about God. He brought it all to exist. He sustains it all. He will complete His plan. And His plan is to bring all of His family, those who respond to Him, open their hearts and minds to Him. Ultimately, His plan is to bring all of His family together so that all may be in harmony and in unity. And as the Bible reads, that all will be all in all with the Father and the Son. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 28. And this will explain to you in just one scripture what I'm speaking of. 1 Corinthians 15:28. And when all things are subjected to Him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, that God may be all in all. You know that God has put all things, all power under Jesus Christ, in the hands of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is to be ruler of all until this point in time of verse 1 Corinthians 15 and 28. And you see what is ultimately to happen there. All subject to the Father God, Yahweh. Yahweh is a name that's foreign to a lot of Christians. But Yahweh is a name that would be very, very good for you to develop a love for if you don't have it already. It's more to the point. It's more specific than just saying God, than even saying the Father God. I've come to realize that it's special to God for you to be able to know his name and to say his name. Does he know who you're talking about when you say God, when you pray to God, Heavenly Father, do this, God, will you? Well, sure he does. He has always, just as Jesus has always responded to praying to him and using the name Jesus. But we don't need to also realize that certain names given to us in the translations are names that were used very generally. And it's not as specific as is needed. So let's think within our hearts and minds that we need to say the name Yahweh every now and then when we speak to him. Yahweh. God, the word God has been used by multiple nations throughout history. There's pagan gods. There's the gods of Egypt, which is many, many, many multiple gods. And there is the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the God we're speaking of. And to specifically give him a name, it's referred to him by the name Yahweh. It's all about God. And number two, God created mankind for his purpose and his plan. God called a chosen people, a chosen nation, a chosen city, a chosen place on this earth. All of those are special to him. But within that also is what he refers to as his family. Those that open their heart and minds to him. Not necessarily the exact bloodline of Abraham, although we might be. Let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 21. Galatians 3 and 21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law has been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. But the Scripture has shut up all men under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that that is what is important today? To be in the family of God? And you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This is how you become a son or daughter within the family of God. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You are Abraham's seed. This is one of the mysteries of God. This is one thing that a lot of people doesn't understand. They don't understand that God wants you to be a part of His family. And you are a son of God. Just as Abraham's seed, if you believe in Jesus Christ and have the faith in God. Let's get a correlation here. In the King James Version, maybe you can get that, David. King James Version, let's see what Galatians 3:29 is in the King James Version. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. Notice, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promises that He gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now let's go to a similar verse in Revelation 12:17, and keep that about Abraham's seed. And the dragon, now this is talking about futuristic events, something that has not taken place yet. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Is that in the King James Version? King James Version of Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And how is this seed described? Those which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Abraham's seed. We need to know it's all about God. We need to know that God wants a personal relationship with His creation, mankind. He created mankind for a purpose. and his plan, to work within that, to help him accomplish his plan. The third is his plan of salvation, which includes faith in God and in the coming of the Messiah. The people of the Old Testament could read of this one who was to come, but the mysteries of his coming and how he would be to come and what would happen after that, they did not understand. His plan of salvation. Number four, his gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember how the Old Testament lets us know that there was to come a powerful, unusual day in which the Holy Spirit would be given. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. And that was to come about, and did come about, on the day of Pentecost. His gift of eternal life. There's many who do not understand how this gift of eternal life, that it is reality. Number six, the final coming of Jesus Christ. Mysteries, hidden wisdom, every detail cannot be expressed under these headlines, you might say, of the mysteries of God. The final coming of Jesus Christ and all that it brings. All that happens slightly before, the 7-year tribulation period before his coming. Leading up to his coming, what's to happen just after his coming. A lot of these are mysteries, hidden wisdoms of God. And the last one is just sort of just like the first one. The very first mystery of God is it's all about God. Everything that's going on now, our lives, everything that we know and see, it's all about God. And we could also say the beginning. That was the first great mystery of God, the beginning. God brought it all to existence. And the end, the very last one, can be expressed the same way. We are to become all in all with the Father God. All in all with Yahweh. Also, the beginning. The last one to be brought together all in all with God. The beginning of what's to lie beyond. We start out at the beginning of creation. We end up with the beginning of the life beyond. Beyond being brought together all in all with the Father and the Son and each other in a family, in unity, in harmony. And then it begins. What lies beyond? Eternity. To live forever and ever with our Heavenly Father.